Welcome to His Ability, a show that speaks out to the handicapped community. Your host is the owner of Aulet Home Care Plus. And now, here's your host, Lynn Suzak.
Welcome to His Ability. I'm here with my husband, Mark. Hi, Mark.
Hello.
And we are having such a good response and so much feedback from our book. At least in person we are. We're not getting it through the website or our emails yet, but we are in person. We are getting told every week, thank you for writing the book, and people are being affected by it and selling more books. We would like it if anybody that's listening has been reading it, if you would email us with a testimony about what it's done for you. That would be wonderful. We can maybe use that feedback on this show. And we'd also like to start posting that feedback on our website, if possible. If you have something you'd like to say, please put it in writing. What we'd like to do is continue further in the book. Last week we read to you from chapter 2. You can see that on the website. Listen to that and under the section about our book. And that's on hisability.com. What we're going to do is pick a section from chapter 3, and it's called
Help, I'm a Hypocrite.
Yes.
And why did you write that chapter?
Well, that depicts how I felt when I was, there's my personal experience with falling into legalism along with many other people that were in my church at that time. About 25 years ago, during the charismatic renewal, maybe 20 years ago. And what I did was I came to the realization when my marriage was falling apart, my first marriage, and I felt really bad about the way I had become inside, what I had become. I realized that I was legalistic. I was a hypocrite. I was judgmental, and I had lost my freedom in Christ.
All right. The first two pages of this particular chapter kind of cover that, and then you go into some of the revelation that God gave you.
Yes, and the title "Help" means that I realized it. I didn't know how I got there, and I didn't know how to get out.
Right.
And so, we'll start with some of the revelation I got after at that point.
It says, when we make up rules to battle spiritual sins, we open the doorway to delusional piety and false Christianity, which is hypocrisy. Who could be the group of people that will hear, I never knew you from God, even though they cried, Lord, Lord, in Matthew 7:21-23, except those who are religious? The Pharisees thought that they were right with God, but Jesus called them a brood of vipers, Matthew 23. My dad was our church leader, and although he recognized and identified this religious thinking as a spiritual sickness, and even though he taught and warned it against it in our small church, we all began to demonstrate symptoms of legalism anyway.
That is amazing, huh? You can get taught, you can get told and warned that this is not a good thing. We're seeing symptoms of legalism. We're acting like Pharisees. We just hadn't circumcised it out of our hearts, and we didn't know how.
Blinded to our own sins by pride, we were addicted to the rules that we created in order to maintain our perfect person facade. Rules make people feel righteous, and having more rules leads to less repenting. Instead of looking inward at our motives as Christians should do, we began to wash the outside of the cup. We were busy doing things that seemed holy, but all the while we were implementing rules of do's and don'ts. That way it's easy to think highly of ourselves and judge people who did not adopt our rules.
Isn't that true? Making rules and then following them makes you feel like you're a good person. You're trying to live up to something.
Right.
You're able to uphold your own rules, and not even really that either. But you think that you're doing it. You're trying because we don't. That's what we learned.
Trying to be holy.
In the denomination I was in before.
The worst part about all that is then you turn around and apply those rules to other people and you hold them to those standards.
Yep.
And you're judging people when they don't meet that standard. You're taking the place of God when you do that.
Yep. It's just because we're confused. We didn't understand the meaning of grace. We didn't understand that by believing on our salvation as a gift, and that was a continual thing. It's just so mind-boggling that we had to start applying rules to keep ourselves from sin. We just didn't understand how to apply grace and the love of God in our lives and really look at the heart. So,
old TV shows such as The Brady Bunch, The Waltons, Little House on the Prairie have a certain attraction to a great number of people. We want to be good. We want to feel good about ourselves. People who idolize the perfect family life tend to lead towards legalism. I was raised Catholic, and like most Catholics, we were pretty good at following rules. Question: what do Baptists, Catholics, Mormons, Jews, Muslims, Amish, and many other religions, most Christian denominations, what do they have in common with the Pharisees of Jesus' day? They all follow rituals and rules in order to be righteous. Well, we just stepped on a lot of toes there.
Well, that's what they do.
But it's not so much the church denominations that you're saying is the problem. It's what's in their hearts. They're not cleansing their hearts. They're doing things to be righteous.
We're all guilty of the same thing because right. It's hard to understand how to live by grace and to change our hearts.
Right.
We don't have a step-by-step process, and that's why I wrote this book.
Right. Nobody really teaches that. They just teach on changing your actions.
Mm-hmm.
It says, they are not all the same rituals, of course, and they are not all the same rules, but they are rituals nonetheless. Some religions require the wearing of head coverings. Some abstain from alcohol and insist that all Christians do the same. Some believe that you can never divorce or remarry. Some say you cannot eat meat on Fridays. No dancing. And then there's the sitting, the standing, the kneeling, shaking hands, repetitious prayers. Recognize any of these? Rules and rituals do not make us righteous. They make us think that we're righteous. Because when we follow the rules perfectly, we can say, look at how good I am at obeying these rules.
Yep.
Hebrews 10:11 says, day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. So you're using this verse and saying, all these rules and rituals you're following, it's just like these Pharisees. They can never take your sins away.
It's just pretending that you're righteous. We ask, really the only way to be righteous is to be born again and ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and trust in his sacrifice to cover right. your sins. Now, what you do from there afterwards to continue in trying to be not continuing in sin in your heart is different than just following rules. And that's what I explain in the book.
We don't become righteous by doing good things. Instead, we do good things when we become righteous. We can only become righteous by being washed in the blood of Jesus. This all starts with a prayer of total submission to Jesus. Paul describes this in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. That if thou may confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and may believe in thy heart that God did raise him out of the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with thy heart doth one believe to righteousness, and with thy mouth is confession made to salvation. That's the Young's literal translation.
Mm-hmm.
Having been declared righteous then by faith, we have peace towards God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have the access by the faith into this grace in which we have stood. And we boast on the hope of the glory of God. Romans 5 verses 1 and 2.
People have to understand that Once you're born again, you are righteous in Christ only because of Jesus. And nothing you do can make you a better Christian. Nothing you do, you know, you're living your life, quote, holy, is not making you more righteous, more than the drunk down the street.
Right.
Or the drug addict that says, I gave my life to Christ, but I'm not free yet from my bondage of drugs. He's righteous if he's born again tonight. You're righteous when you did it. You're both righteous in Christ.
Right.
Your actions changing will free you from the bondage of sin on this earth and give you freedom that you should have. But it's a process.
Right. Takes time. We are like a bride and God is like a groom to us, his people, Isaiah 61:10. And our daily relationship with him as his people is like a marriage, Isaiah 54:5. What husband would be happily married to a wife who acts like a robot, simply cooking meals, making beds, cleaning, raising the kids while using repetitive, meaningless conversation and making honey-do lists every day? God wants a personal relationship with each of us. However, when someone is raised under the idea that God is all about these do's and don'ts, it's very hard to break free of that mindset. And then you go on to talk about your family. It says, when my family became born-again Christians, our mindset was still Catholic. We needed renewed minds, but transformation takes time. The idea of being saved by grace and not by religious works was not an easy concept to accept. Still feeling as though we had a rule book to follow, we continued in our fruitless efforts to attain holiness in our own ability.
Adding to salvation, you know, like
adding to what Christ already did.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, when he died on the cross, he said, "It is finished."
Right.
All of it's done. Price is paid. Let's see. For instance, one or two women in our church decided to stop wearing makeup because they felt it was causing them to be vain. Stop. Can makeup cause vanity? Does wearing no makeup mean you're not vain? Is vanity something you can get in a bottle? These may seem like simple questions to answer, but most churches would struggle with answering these if they were brought up at a meeting. Hand out a survey, see what happens. Confusion will be the result. Why is there confusion when it comes to conditions of the heart? Our hearts are not tangible. We want to hide like Adam and Eve in the garden after they felt their nakedness.
Yep, it's a mistake that every church tends to make and gravitate towards. Well, we're out of time. Thanks for joining us today. And that's First Watch the Inside. Please visit hisability.com. Order your book there. You can even visit our office in the Garden City and pick up one there. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to His Ability. You can email Lynn at life@hisability.com. That's life@hisability.com. Or visit hisability.com. If you're in the need of home health care, please call a Udalee at 734-261-1220. That's 734-261-1220. Thanks for tuning in, and you can hear His Ability every Sunday at 2 p.m. right here on WMUZ 103.5, The Light.